Well, a few weeks back, I don't know if exactly it was 4 or 5 weeks ago, I had a couple of books land on my desk, and usually when they get books at the radio station, they put them on my desk if nobody else wants them, and I took a look at them, and they were from Ingrid Dean. Now, she's a state police officer. She's out of Traverse City, Michigan, and when I looked at these books, I thought, wow, this is interesting. Some of it's paranormal. Some of it's just, I don't know. It's just a very heartwarming, spiritual, and then some of it's really bizarre. And I like all of those topics. And so I kind of read through her book. I think maybe I sent her an email. But she responded. She would be excited to talk on my show. So lo and behold, the universe kind of lines things up. Have you ever heard me say that before? Well, it's true. And I think you're going to enjoy this book and this author. And, you know, I don't know how you feel about the police, but hopefully you come away with a better feeling about them after this interview.
Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Thanks for joining me for another show. It's Out There. My name is TJ Ryan. I have a guest on who actually is not that far where I'm from. Now, I live in Upper Michigan. I live in a town called Wilson, but I work out of a town called Escanaba, which is right on Lake Michigan. Well, if you go across the lake, and there's Lower Michigan, and Ingrid Dean happens to live in, is it Traverse City you live in, Ingrid?
Yeah.
And she is my guest this week. She is a police officer. How long have you been an officer?
20 years as of August the 21st.
You're a state police officer, correct?
Yes, I'm a detective sergeant at the Traverse City State Police Post and also a forensic artist with the department.
So you have worked your way up and have a pretty successful career through all of this.
I think so. It's been an awful lot of fun, and I've learned a lot with good people, experienced things that I don't think I would have otherwise ever experienced in any other profession.
So Ingrid sent a couple books to the radio station, and I looked at them and I thought, this is really interesting. It's called Spirit of the Badge. Now, these are 60 true police stories of divine guidance, miracles, intuition. Some of it's even paranormal, isn't it?
Yeah.
And how did you collect these stories?
I decided to go back to school. I was getting a little bit bored in my job, and I thought I would like to do something different, learn something in a different area, something that I always wanted to do. And so I attended what's called a transpersonal university.
Transpersonal university, which is what?
It's kind of a combination between paranormal, intuitive, transpersonal, meaning beyond the person. It's an area that suggests that we are a lot bigger than what we think we are.
Now, how did you develop an interest in that? I mean, is this something you've had your whole life?
I have lived a transpersonal life since I was really young. In fact, I read the book called Autobiography of a Yogi by the age of 9, and I have always loved mysteries and unexplainable phenomena like angels and ghosts, intuition, clairvoyance, anything that had to do with extraterrestrial life and UFOs.
Really?
I was just always fascinated with those areas.
The unknown, right?
Yeah.
And that's what my show is all about, because like you, Ingrid, I've been the same way just about my whole life. And I've had weird things happen, and I'm guessing you've probably had a few happen in your lifetime as well.
I have. And in fact, by about age 14, I had an influx of premonitions. I thought I was seeing ghosts when I saw lights, you know, going in front of me and past me. And I realized that I was a bit intuitive as well, different than many of my friends.
So that experience obviously led you down this direction. Do you have any stories you can tell personally, something that maybe happened to you that's just a bit unusual?
Oh, you know, recently, about a year ago, and I don't know if you would consider this paranormal or something that could be explained, but it was so different, and the odds of it happening to me is so bizarre. But I came home from work, from working really late, and in the middle of the night, I woke up, and it was thundering and lightning, and there was rain coming down, and I've always enjoyed listening to the thunder. So I was wide awake and conscious, and all of a sudden, this huge ball of light came into the room, and it was quite shocking because it probably spanned about 5 feet. It was circular, three-dimensional, spherical looking, and all these little lights were flickering. They looked just like Christmas tinsel, and it made a sound, and I suddenly grabbed the sides of my bed, which is wooden, because I just knew that it had to be electricity.
Now, this thing was just hovering there.
Just hovering there.
That's weird.
Yeah, it was really strange, and it was for about 10 seconds, and then all of a sudden it just went through the bedroom door and out. And it was really quick, and I thought, did I just see what I just saw? And the next day, my boyfriend came to the house, and he was reading the paper. And I really thought about whether I wanted to tell him what happened or not because he's so conservative. And I started talking, and I said, honey, I said, you know, I had this weird experience last night, and this big ball of lights came through the window, and he interrupted me, and he dropped the paper, and he kind of looked white, and he looked at me, and he said, did it make a sound? Did it go, and that was not prompted. I mean, that was the exact sound of this thing, and it was energy. And as he explained it and understood it, he was told that it was electricity from lightning, and just like you throw a stone into the water and the waves come out, he said this was like a wave of lightning.
The only part I don't understand is why this thing would almost have intelligence to stand there for a moment for 10 seconds and hover.
Exactly. And I even said to my friend, I said, you know, I said, I sense something intelligent about it. And I know it sounds weird, but I really did. It was like it looked at me.
So now that you think that, do you really believe it was lightning?
I don't know. I just simply don't know. I tried calling a couple different weather stations, and they thought I was nuts until I told them that I was actually a police officer, and then they listened somewhat, but they had no explanation.
You know, I know part of the reason you wrote this book also was to humanize patrol officers, police officers, whether it's just a regular police officer working in the city or state police. I know you have a lot of contact with the state police, but you've written a lot about not just lower Michigan, but upper Michigan officers as well and their experiences. Some of the stories are just real heartwarming. Some of them show the very humanistic side. Because I read the book. I did that, Ingrid. I read the whole thing, and I really enjoyed it. Really was, you know, it's basically, the stories are not that long, 2-3 pages. So if you're impatient, like Ingrid suggested that, you know, we might be men, I guess.
I think it's perfect for men, and I think it's a great gift for women to give to men because it seems like, you know, having worked in the male genre, I mean, police work is primarily male. I've learned that men really do like short stories that are key points.
You know, to be honest with you, I start a lot of books, and if they're really not that interesting, I get about halfway through and I never finish them. That's been the story of my life with a lot of books I've started. I don't know if you're like that at all. Do you read every book you grab?
No, I kind of flip through them.
Yeah. But your book is really interesting. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Well, thanks. You know, I found that in working with men, that they've often said the same thing about books. It's not that they don't like to read, because they love to read, but if it's too long and gets overly dramatic and melodramatic, they don't like that.
Yeah, it all depends what you're looking for. And I'm sure everybody has different interests. There is something, I believe, in this book for everybody. If you want something that's going to touch your heart, there are many stories like that. You want unexplained phenomena, including UFO stories, including ghost stories. Ingrid has that in her book. And you've come to, I was going to ask you, these people, these officers, you know, it's a brotherhood, I'm guessing, and a sisterhood, if you will, but they don't like to open up about things too much, do they?
It depends on the situation and who they're talking to. I think officers are understandably careful about who they trust and who they don't. And in this case, when I was collecting all of these stories, they knew me. And if they didn't know me directly, they still knew I was a police officer. And I think I gave them the impression that I wasn't going to make them look bad or embarrass them. So I think that I had an advantage working within the police to collect these stories, because I don't think they would have otherwise shared like they did with me.
Her name
with someone else outside of police work.
Her name is Ingrid Dean. It's Spirit of the Badge, and your website is what?
www.spiritofthebadge.com.
And we'll take a break and continue talking to Ingrid right after this.
This is Ingrid Dean, author of Spirit of the Badge, 60 True Police Stories of Divine Guidance, Miracles, and Intuition. Please go to my website, www.spiritofthebadge.com, to order books or perhaps hire me as a speaker.
It's out there, out there, out there, out there.
My guest is Ingrid Dean. She is from Traverse City, Michigan. She's been a state police officer for 20 years. She is a sergeant and also a forensic artist. And she's written this book, Spirit of the Badge, 60 True Police Stories of Divine Guidance, Miracles, and Intuition. You know, and police officers, I've heard this too myself, they really do have to have a lot of intuition, don't they, on the job? Because that can save your life.
I think they do. And while police officers may not admit it, I think it's because they don't really know exactly what it is. It just comes to mind, and they integrate it into their work.
Well, there's a story you had about state police officers. I believe it was out of Stevenson Post. And these two fellows were they were looking for this man that was wanted or in trouble with the law. And they went to this house. Do you remember that story?
I do.
What happened in that story? Because that's a story about intuition.
I thought that was really interesting, because I think it saved their lives. Both officers had scoped out the house, and it was in the evening. And they both had a feeling that they should not go up to a certain window, that they had scoped the house off enough, and they got into their cars and left. And then the next day, the person they were looking for was captured, and he said, you know, it's a good thing those officers didn't look through that window, because I had a long gun pointed right at them, and I would have, you know, blown their head off, basically. It was scary.
Yeah. You know, I remember watching a show, I don't know where the police officer was out of. He might have been out of Chicago. They were talking about these carjackings where they would bump into the back of you and you look like you got an accident and you get out and then they take your car and they might hurt you as well.
Right.
And he made a comment. He said, and this is what really stuck with me. He said, when somebody does that to you, you know not to get out of your car because the hair on the back of your neck will stand up. Now that to me is intuition. It's a feeling. And not everybody is going to feel that, but he has a trained response.
Right.
And he's right, but maybe not everybody notices that. They should. Probably be a good idea to get in touch with that side of herself. You have stories that are very, I don't know, they touched my heart. And a couple of them also have like a twist of fate, like almost like it was meant to be. One that stood out, well, there's several. There's really several. But there was an individual, I think it was a woman, a police officer. She had pulled a guy over. She cut him a break. Do you remember that one? He was like trying to, on his way to a date. Can you tell us that story as well?
I remember that, and I call it almost synchronicity.
Mm-hmm.
The officer had, like you said, given this person a break. He had hopped out of his car and had begged the officer not to give him a ticket because he had a date. Now, that might sound like a very typical,
mm-hmm.
you know, excuse, but he said, no, no. He said, if you give me this ticket, you know, I'll go to jail, and then it'll never happen. He was just beside himself.
Mm-hmm.
So this officer said, okay, here's the ticket. Promise me that you'll show up in court. And he said, I will. And then he left. And then it was like 2 years later that the same officer had stopped a car that was weaving and crossing the center line, and it happened to be a drunk driver, and the person was not cooperative. And when that person got out of the car, they ended up into a tussle, a fight, and it was snowing and cold, and the officer was not a big person and was losing the battle when suddenly this big giant semi-truck pulled in behind the patrol car, and this guy jumped out and came racing to the officer and helped her out. It happened to be a female, and put the guy in the back of the patrol car and said to the officer, you know, do you remember me? And she said, well, I'm afraid not. I've stopped a lot of people, and you look familiar, though. And he said, well, I'm the guy that you stopped 2 years ago and gave a break to.
Hmm.
And I want to let you know that I actually married that woman that I had a date with. And it was just a very sweet ending, but just kind of bizarre in that this same person happened to be there at that time and place to assist that officer.
You know, what I also struck me in that story is that when the officer had pulled this guy over originally, he had told the officer, oh, you got to let me go. This is the one woman I've been waiting my whole lifetime. He said, I've been looking for her for lifetimes, didn't he? Lifetimes?
He did.
Like it was destiny. And if this officer didn't let him continue on this date, he would never be able to marry this woman. And who knows? I mean, but still, it just seemed very amazing that a couple of years later, he was telling the truth and he was able to assist her. And there's those kind of stories that are just really weird coincidences, and I think they're more than coincidences about this, the books, the stories that you have within the book. And then there's some real bizarre stories as well that you've collected. And again, these are officers, are they're telling you the truth, right? They're not going to make this up for any kind of reason. Police officers are, we're proving for one that they're human and that they do have feelings, but they, you know, they can only show so much in front of the public, right?
They just don't lie about stuff like this. It's unusual stuff anyways, but officers tend to cross all their T's and dot their I's, and they're perfectionists to a fault. And I remember collecting these experiences from them and how they wanted to make sure everything was perfect because they want to tell the truth. They didn't want their experiences colored or exaggerated in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's what makes the book so profound.
Yes. They are obviously going to be very accurate with what they do because they have to be. They really have to be for anything that goes to court, I'm guessing, with all the documentation.
Right. I mean, they really live by credibility and reliability. So they're just honest overall about everything. And you know, many of them come from various religious and spiritual backgrounds, usually a Christian background. So I thought it was just truly refreshing to hear their unusual experiences, regardless of what they personally believed in.
Yes, because sometimes that will keep you from wanting to talk about things or even believe that they happened. We have a couple of other stories that are, well, there's a whole bunch of them, but there's a UFO story in the book, more than one, but there was an officer, as I recall, that was called to this woman's house. Was this now down near maybe Detroit? Or no, maybe it wasn't that area. But he didn't want to go, as I understand. But he, that's his job, but he went there, and he didn't see anything until he went out in the backyard.
Right.
That story, what happened with that one?
I love that story because I knew the officer personally, and he was a very conservative, small town, smoked and drank coffee, was on the school board, and he was not what I call a liberal or leftist-type person. And when this happened to him, it really changed him. I mean, I really saw remarkable differences in his attitude and the way he treated people. And he was always nice anyways, but I felt that the experience really opened his mind and heart to a lot of things. And I guess, in short, what happened, it was early in the morning at about 6 a.m., and he gets this call from the desk sergeant that said, you know, a lady has called. She says there's this thing hovering above her house, and she just wants to know what it is. And at first, the trooper thought, oh, this is probably one of those state hospital people that was freed when we lost budget money.
Hmm.
And so he wasn't taking it seriously. And when he got there to the house, he didn't see anything initially, just like you said, until the woman guided him through the house to the back door. There were some sliding glass doors, and he took one step out onto the back deck. And when he looked up, he said, Ingrid, my knees buckled.
Hmm.
This thing was huge. It was as big as a football field. It looked like honeycomb cereal, and I couldn't believe it.
What did he do?
Well, at first they were scrounging around for a video camera in the house because it was around Christmas time. It was wrapped up under the tree, and it was a little too complicated to put together. So the neighbor ended up coming over with his video camera, and they actually videotaped it. So there is a still shot picture in the book of the UFO.
Yep, you can see that, and it's pretty clear. And one of many amazing stories, the name of the book is Spirit of the Badge, 60 True Police Stories of Divine Guidance, Miracles, and Intuition. Ingrid P. Dean from Traverse City is my guest today on Out There. We'll be back in just a moment.
Out there.
If you want to find out more about this program, of course, you found it at outthere.podbean.com. You can also check us out through the Braver Institute. That's www.braverinstitute.com. You can also check out Way Braver's blogs, which are usually interesting, to say the least. And there's a show called Huntcast you can check out as well. And if you want to leave us something in the shout box, or like I said, if you want to be on the program, I'd love to hear from you. Just leave me a shout or send me an email, tj2@up.net. And I thank you for listening.
It's Out There. Out There. Out There. Out There.
My name is T.J. Ryan. You're listening to Out There. Thanks for joining us. Spirit of the Badge, the author Ingrid Dean. She's out of Traverse City. She is my guest, and I don't know, it's just like you make a connection with somebody. We talked on the phone before, and very open-minded person. You seem like you're open to just about everything.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
And so, and writing this book, I guess you'd have to be, because some of this stuff, some people might look at it. Now, not, you know, myself, not included. And I think the people that listen to this show, because people that listen to podcasts generally are kind of diehard. They want to listen for a reason. Now, my show, it could be about a number of different things. I look at self-awareness. I look at even just inspirational things or really unknown, bizarre stuff. Those are things that interest me, because I think we're on this mission in our lifetime to maybe move things forward. We can. We don't have to, but I mean, that's part of what we're trying to do. Would you agree with that, Ingrid?
I feel the same way, and when I put this book together, I wanted it to be attractive to all people and not just one small group of people.
Right.
And the message that I wanted to send was that police officers are human beings. they have dreams, experiences, things that they'd like to share that doesn't normally go on television. And so I made it a transpersonal book because transpersonal has a wide spectrum of human experience within it. On one far end of the spectrum are the real bizarre, unexplainable types of phenomena, and then on the other end of the spectrum, they're explainable things that happen that are extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. And so, you don't hear about the stories that officers or just people in general, the good things that they do, you know, those things are normally not publicized. And a lot of officers, you told me, Ingrid, go into this profession because they really want to help others. They don't want to go in it to throw somebody in jail.
They do. And, I mean, they don't want to send people to jail, and they do get into the job to be of service. When I first entered, I didn't want to stop people and give them tickets, which is exactly what's being portrayed on television.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be a service. And I found that through the years in police work that this stereotypical image was not changing that much on television.
Well, you know what they're going to do on TV and movies. They're going to hype everything up. And that's why my show is not hyped up at all, because I see this in media. Being in radio for over 30 years, I know exactly what they do. You know, these programs, these satellite programs that are on that are well-known throughout the whole country, there's a lot of hype that goes into that. And I don't want, that's not the truth. I don't want that. Anyway, we're going to get into a story. This is really kind of weird, but I've heard this, some of my other guests have talked about it, Ingrid, so it's nothing weird on this show. There was an officer who went to somebody's land. This man owned some land, and he had like a mine shaft, and they were worried that somebody might be down there. Can you tell us that story?
This officer was an undercover narcotics officer, and he went to this private property in Utah, probably 1,000 acres of property. He'd gotten information from an informant that a dead body had been dumped down one of the mine shafts. Well, when he got there, he really didn't see any indications that anybody was there. It was way out in the boonies. And in Utah, it can be quite hot in the summertime, very, very warm. And he was inspecting one of the mine shaft openings there. There was nobody around. And he started hearing noises inside the mine. And mines can be quite dangerous, especially old mines with a lot of that old timber that holds them up. So in the story, he advises people not to go to these caves or mines because they are dangerous. But because of these noises, he really thought there was something running around in there. And at first glance, he saw a shadow running across the wall, and he was so certain in his own mind that it was a kid. And so he started yelling, you know, come out. This is not safe. Come out right now. I just want to talk to you. It's unsafe in there. And there was no response. So then some silence goes by for about 5 minutes, and then he hears these sounds again and sees this shadow again that looks like a person, like a kid. He was just certain that it was like a teenager. So he waited and waited, and this time he got his flashlight out, and he didn't make a sound, thinking that maybe the kid will come towards the opening once he realizes that he's gone. And so this thing, we'll call it a thing, gets closer and closer, and then he clicks his flashlight on, and it scared the crap out of him. It was not what he called a human being. It was some...
Now, hang on a second, Ingrid. Not what he called a human being. What could that be?
He said it looked reptilian.
Wow.
He said the face was almost like a dinosaur's image. one of those like carnivorous dinosaurs from thousands of years ago. We obviously know that dinosaurs are gone and extinct, but the head part of the body reminded him of a meat-eating dinosaur.
But the rest of the body, did it have any human-like qualities? Or?
It had a human-like quality from the neck down and a tail.
That's what I see in the drawing. Okay.
Yeah. He said, I'm certain there was a tail. It's just that I freaked out so quickly. He said, I just took off and ran because it really shocked me. He says, I'll admit it. I'm a human being. It scared the crap out of me.
Hmm.
So he just fled.
I don't blame him.
Me neither.
There are a lot of, you know, since I started doing this show, and I've heard of stuff before, but some of the guests I've had on have talked about some things that are just, you've never heard of before, but there are many witnesses. If you talk to enough people, you find more than one that have seen a similar thing. We have to move along because we're only down to a couple more minutes, but you wanted to talk about how a lot of officers use dreams or a subconscious state when they're sleeping to solve a lot of crimes.
They do. And one story that came to mind is called Dream Work. It's about an officer who describes a situation that was thought to be a suicide. This young man had apparently shot himself with a .22 caliber rifle, and the case really bothered the officer. And he said that he laid in bed thinking about it, and found himself reviewing his notes and revisiting the scene in his dreams. And after analyzing and processing the information he obtained during the day in this dreamlike state, he suddenly wakened and realized what had happened. And he told me that he believed that the victim started cleaning his rifle, and as one of his brothers had already told the officer, the weapon occasionally jammed, occasionally leaving a round in it. The dining room had a wooden circular chandelier in it where the young man was found. The officer got this image in his dream of the victim holding the weapon up to the light from the chandelier to check the barrel for cleanliness. And that he imagined the boy holding the feeder latch open with his thumb and then accidentally striking the chandelier with the butt of the rifle. So the officer said he actually saw his finger slipping off the latch and the latch falling shut. So with a jammed round left in the weapon went off and struck the victim in the heart. So what's so interesting is that the man had a detective actually go back to the scene, and the detective located an indentation in the wooden chandelier. It matched the edge of the butt of the gun, and there was some varnish on the butt of the gun as well from the wood of the chandelier. And as confirmed in the autopsy, the angle of the wound through the heart was the exact angle that proved his dream.
That's amazing.
And it was.
It's psychic. I would, that's the way I could describe it, a psychic ability that we can all tap into if we desire it and maybe give it enough time, right?
Yep.
Ingrid, I appreciate you being on. We're just about out of time, but we're going to get you back on again soon if you don't mind.
Great.
And we'll talk more about it. I know you have some audio from the book as well, so we'll include that on the next show, and we'll include part of an interview as well.
That would be great.
Thank you very much. Ingrid Dean, I keep wanting to say Bergman.
That's an old name.
Spirit of the Badge, 60 True Police Stories of Divine Guidance, Miracles, and Intuition. You can check out her website. Once again, that is
www.spiritofthebadge.com.
And your book is officially coming out when?
October the 1st is the official release date, but I do have pre-release copies available if anyone's interested in going on the website.
Ingrid Dean, thank you very much for talking to me out of Traverse City.
You're welcome.
music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.